be with you today.
We're going to continue our study in Ephesians chapter 6 on the putting on the armor of God. Noah read for us this morning in Ephesians chapter 6 and starting in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So what we have done so far in our lessons is we've talked about the belt of truth. We have also talked last week about the breastplate of righteousness, and today we're going to talk about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, I don't know how many pairs of shoes you have. You know, some people have more than others. Probably many of you remember years ago Imelda Marcos in the Philippines. She had 3,000 pairs of shoes. Just a few months ago, there was a quarterback that was in the news that was accused of kicking somebody in the head, and they confiscated his shoes, and he had 49 pairs of shoes, and they were trying to figure out if he had kicked somebody with those shoes. You know, most of us probably don't have that many. Now, some of you ladies might. I don't know. You seem to need a lot sometimes, but people do need shoes for obvious reasons, and we probably have more choices than any other generation before us. We have them for every kind of activity and every color and material. Now, in Paul's day, the Roman soldier needed to wear shoes as part of their battle attire. You would think that it would be foolish to put on all the armor that we have been talking about and not put something on your feet. In fact, in the first lesson where we were talking about this, talked about that show called Dual Survival, where the man goes out without shoes and into all kinds of danger, and it just seems silly. And of course, that ends up, you know, being a problem for him sometime. But the typical soldier in Paul's day wore protective leather sandals that often had pieces of metal or bone in the bottom of those sandals in the sole, to increase traction, I guess, much like cleats would be today that athletes wear, something that is going to help you have traction and be able to have a good foothold. And some soldiers wore shin guards attached to those shoes as well. And those shin guards or leggings were known as greaves that were attached to the shoes that gave them that added protection. And obviously, if somebody's not prepared to go into battle, and based on what they chose to prepare with, they might lose the battle or win the battle because of what they're wearing or because of their shoes. The success of the Roman legions was partly due to their ability to march many miles over rough terrain. And if a soldier was wounded in the foot, what would happen? Well, he would neither be able to advance or retreat, would he? You know, he's just going to have to stop. And enemies often place sharp pieces of wood or stone pointing out of the soil to inflict injury. Now, that seems kind of harsh, doesn't it, that somebody would do that? But they know that protection, you know, if you don't have that protection and you step on something, you know, it's going to hurt. It's going to have a effect. I guess you could call that a first century landmine that somebody would do to bury that kind of thing in the ground. So the shoes of a soldier was something that was very integral to what they were wearing. It was very important to their armor as a whole. Just as we think about how important the belt was or the breastplate or the shield might be, the shoes are just as important. And when Paul talks about the shoes, he talks about these being the shoes of preparation, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I believe really that the heart of what we're talking about with the shoes is this word, preparation. And we want to talk about that today. The Greek word for preparation is hetoimasia, and the word appears often in the New Testament, you know, translated prepare or translated to be ready. And it really denotes this idea that we are to have preparedness. You know, we're in a battle, as Paul says, and when we go into the battle, we need to be prepared. And we need to be in a state of readiness. You know, just this morning on the television, I was hearing, I really wasn't paying that much attention to what they were saying, but what they were saying was that there is a new readiness system that they are invoking for bad weather. You know, we're used to the system, the alert system that you hear on the radio or TV, and they were saying, well, this one's going to be different, and they were describing it, and I wasn't really paying attention, so I guess when I hear it, I'll know it. But the idea behind the ad was that we're showing you how we're going to get ready, how we are going to prepare people to be prepared when something does happen. And throughout the New Testament, we're told that we ought to be ready. In Matthew chapter 24, and verse 44, we're told, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. What's the idea behind that admonition? Well, the admonition there is that you need to be ready, that the Son of Man is coming when you don't expect. We talked about that some in our Bible class this morning. Talk about the second coming of Christ being like a thief in the night, and a thief doesn't announce their intentions or when they're going to come. So the sense here is that there is preparation. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul told the Christians to be ready for every good work, ready to do whatever is good. Ready for every good work. You know, good works just don't happen, do they? You know, we don't accidentally stumble upon doing good work, usually. We prepare, we plan. It's something that we intend. So Paul encourages us to be ready for every good work. Also, the word preparedness can denote that we are willing to do something. When Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, that he was ready to preach the gospel in Rome, we know not only was he prepared to do that from a physical standpoint and a mental standpoint, he was just determined that he was going to do it. He was willing to do it, and he had the ability to do it. Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 19, when the Corinthian brethren were making contributions to those who were in need, he said in that regard that they had a ready mind. So they had the ability to help, and they wanted to help, and they were ready to do that. It was something that they had prepared to do. So we have to be ready. And we have to be ready in both of those senses, in that we're willing to do something, and that we are equipped to do it. And that's what we need in the service of God. We need to equip ourselves, and we need willingness. So when we look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, and we talk about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what does that mean? How are we to understand that? How do we apply that to our life? I think as we look at all of these pieces of the armor, we understand that the shoes and other pieces of armor tell us that he's ready for whatever comes. The soldier must be ready to fight. And the good pair of shoes, although sometimes that may seem like the least of the pieces of the battle armor, really it's not. When you talk about how important that is, a good pair of shoes, what does it allow the soldier to do? It allows it to be ready, allows him to be ready to march. It makes him ready to climb or to fight or whatever else is necessary. Because he is wearing these shoes, he is capable and willing to go wherever it is that his commander sends him. Have you ever been somewhere without shoes when you needed to be wearing them? Have you ever gone out into the yard to get something without your shoes and realize there's a bunch of stickers in the yard. You wish that you had. Am I the only one that's ever done that? And I realize I really should have put on some shoes. I may be clothed. I may have on pants, shirt, but don't have shoes. You feel naked without your shoes when you get out there and realize that you really need them. They're important. And the soldier that forgets those is not going to be prepared. Shoes give you confidence to go deeper into the yard where those stickers are, where there might be, you don't know what's out there. But when you have the shoes on, don't you have more confidence when you have them on? But when you don't have them on, you're just tiptoeing, hoping that you don't step on something that you're not supposed to. It's all about being prepared. And being prepared gives us confidence. Being prepared in any aspect of our life gives us confidence. When you go into a class and you forget you have a test, you have confidence. You're probably scared to death. But when you prepare yourself, when you know you've done what you can to get ready, then you go into that so-called battle with confidence. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about preparing ourselves with the gospel armor. And when Paul talks about shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, how is it that that helps us to prepare to fight? We are not preparing the gospel. The gospel is not what we prepare. The gospel is already prepared. It prepares us. And so how does the gospel of peace prepare us to fight? What is the soldier prepared for? Well, I think some of the things we can learn from Paul is that he was prepared to preach. In Romans chapter 10, we see some key words repeated between these two letters, between Ephesians and Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, Paul here is discussing the rejection of Jesus, particularly by the Jewish nation. He says, "How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." And so here you get the same illustration about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. But here Paul also refers to the gospel in the same way. That is the gospel of peace. What is Paul referring to? Well, Paul is referring to the prophet Isaiah and what prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 52 in verse 7 when he said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." So, when you view what Paul has said here and what the prophet Isaiah says, you can look at this and see that the shoes here can refer to the eagerness and to the ability to preach the Word. And Christians need to be ready to take the gospel. Paul was ready to take the gospel to the lost. He was ready to preach it. He was able to speak to others about Christ. Peter also says that we must be ready. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct may be ashamed." Be able to give a defense. As Peter said, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 to preach the word in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. We were talking this morning in our class about the necessity to have to rebuke, to exhort others, and to encourage others, even when that may be difficult. And I believe that's the same thing that Paul echoes with Timothy when he says, preach in season and out of season. Do it when it's convenient, when it's not. Do it when people like it and when they don't like it. So in order to be ready to preach or teach, what's one of the first things that we have to do? Well, we've already talked about needing to have a willingness, but we also talk about equipping ourselves. And we have to equip ourselves by reading, by studying. Those who evangelize and teach need to be sure in their faith. They need to be able to withstand persecution and temptation. Paul certainly was not immune to that. He was persecuted. And we have to prepare ourselves to face the enemy that Paul says we're putting on this armor to battle. The forces on this earth, the principalities and powers. And when that word abides in us, it's going to help us, and it's going to help us not to sin. So we have to be prepared to preach. We need to also be prepared to stand. If you remember in our first lesson when we were talking about the full context of all this armor that we put on, Paul uses this expression to stand several times during in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 15 is about standing firm. And it's about defending the faith against the attacks of the enemy. The soldier has to have good shoes. Why? Because we said he needs to stand firm. Have you ever had on shoes that were slick? Or that the shoes were kind of worn out? They used to have some traction. And just like tires. Tires on our Armada are needing a little bit of help right now. You know, they're too slick. And they probably wouldn't perform as well right now as they would when they were brand new. In the context of what we're talking about with our shoes, remember what we said at the beginning, the shoes that the Roman soldiers wore had pieces in the sole of the shoe, metal or stone, that would help give it traction. What happens when those wear out? It's time to change shoes, isn't it? It's time to get some new ones. And we have to be prepared so that we can stand firm. And somebody that's wearing slick shoes, when something hits them, they're not going to be able to stand. A football player that went out on the field with a pair of just your kid's tennis shoes isn't going to stand firm, is he? So we need to stand firm and not be moved. The word preparation can also refer to a prepared foundation or a base or just having a firm ground on which to stand. In Psalm 89 and verse 14, it's used in this way. Psalm 89 verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation. And this is the same word that's used as preparedness in what we're talking about today. This word is translated foundation in Psalm 89. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. In Ephesians chapter 6, the NIV says it this way in verse 14, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the gospel of peace as a firm footing. Now, I kind of like the way that's put there, with the gospel of peace as a firm footing. The Christian can stand because he has firm footing. And it doesn't happen by accident. It happens by preparation. How does the gospel give me the ability to stand and fight? It's because I know the gospel of peace. And I have the gospel of peace. And I have been prepared by the gospel of peace. The gospel, we know, is the good news. It's not just the first four books of the New Testament, as we call the gospels. The word gospel means good news. And it's something that will give us peace if we apply it to our lives. It's also something that can be understood. The good news is that we can understand it, we can grasp it, and although we have
all sinned against God, and we all deserve punishment. The good news of the gospel is that God doesn't want us to be punished. That He wants us to be saved. He showed us mercy by sending His Son to bear the penalty that we really deserve. It's a gift, and we receive it if we will do that. The gospel is simple in that regard. But you know, it's also something that's unfathomable. You know, like when you go to the ocean, you know, a child can play at the shore. But when you look out at on the horizon, aren't you kind of overwhelmed by it? You know, you see the simplicity of a child playing at the shore, and you may not think a whole lot about that. But then, when you look off in the distance, it's something that's very, profound, and it's something that's overwhelming because it has such power. And when you think about the power of the gospel, then we think about what Jesus did for us and what God did for us in sending Jesus to die for us. On some hands, it seems very simple, but then when you stop to think about who God is and who we are, it's something that can have a big impact on us. It's profound. And it's especially profound when we think about man being enemies of Jesus, and Jesus saved those very enemies that spat upon Him and ridiculed Him and brought Him to a mock trial. The gospel of peace brings us peace. He's brought peace and reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's not just about wearing shoes, it's about what those shoes represent. That's what gives us strength. That's what gives us the ability to stand firm because of what God did for us. The gospel of peace gives us peace with man and peace with God. You know, it's pretty easy to trace the subject of peace throughout the Bible when you look through the pages of Genesis to Revelation. But when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about two different kinds of peace. The peace that's brought about by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The two kinds of peace are the peace that we have with God and the peace that we have with man. And we can have both in some regards. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, as unbelievers, we were formerly dead in our trespasses and sins, walking not only in the course of this world, but according to the prince of the power of the air. Verse 12 says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's not peace, to stay in that relationship when you're outside. But as he goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who are afar off and those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You recognize the two relationships that Paul is talking about here when he's talking about how this brings peace. First of all, it puts away that separation that we have between us and God. That we've been brought near to God, we've been reconciled to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's also saying it's the separation between the Jew and the Gentile. That certainly there was a lack of peace between those two groups. But Paul's saying there's peace between you now. There's peace between men, and there is peace with God. So that's what the gospel of peace can do for us. It can bring people together, and it can bring us to be reconciled with God, which of course is the most important thing. And that work has all been done for us. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says that Jesus has become the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. So it's through our faithful obedience to His Word that He can become that author of eternal salvation through our obedience. So the gospel, it's a proclamation of peace between God and man. That's what we have to dress ourselves with, is that gospel of peace. We have to put that on. We don't have any ability to stand on our own without the gospel of peace. It would be just like going into battle barefooted or going out there with shoes that don't have any tread on them. Putting on the gospel of peace gives us those good shoes with the traction so that we can stand firm, so that we have the ability to fight the battle that is there. The peace of the gospel is something that can be of great benefit to us, especially in eternity, but in our lives right now, as Christians, we can be at peace with each other. The Jew and the Gentile, they didn't really know peace between their two groups, but Paul's saying you can have peace. That wall of separation is broken down. Those social barriers that they had are dissolved. And we can have that among Christians as well, because we share that common relationship in the gospel of peace. The idea here is that we need to be sure-footed. The gospel message of peace, the peace that we can have between God and man, is something that helps us to stand against the enemy. You think Paul understood that? He said, if God is for us, who can be against us? That represents that he knew that he had sure footing, doesn't it? That he wasn't worried about not being equipped. And when we understand that, it will help us to stand against the attacks of Satan. As many people have said, when you look at the Bible, you know who's going to win. You can read, you can flip to the end and see that Satan is defeated. He's a defeated enemy. He has no credibility. He has no authority in our lives. And that's all true if we are at peace with God. If we have shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, Satan's not a defeated enemy if we haven't done that. We've let him defeat us. So, we can be at peace with God by being prepared and putting on what God has given us for preparation. It's our faith in the power of Jesus' blood and our reaction to that and our belief and following through with what we are instructed to do. That's the power that God has given us to keep us in Christ. He's given us everything that we need to do to be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed until that day. I really love that verse because it shows how confident Paul was in what he was doing and what he believed. I don't mind suffering, I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing because I know what I'm doing. I know whom I've believed. The pulpit commentary says this. It says, the idea seems to be that the mind is to be steadied, kept from fear and flutter by means of the good news of peace. The good news that we are at peace with God. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Roman sandal was furnished with nails and gripped the ground firmly, even when it was sloping or slippery. So the good news of peace keeps us upright and firm. Really like that description. You can all think of places that you could go where you just don't know that you'd have sure footing. But he says, that's not the case with the gospel of peace. It's going to give you that sure footing. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, I don't know that I ever recognized before doing this study how often the term stand and the term peace are used in conjunction. But you know, it is a great thing that we can have peace that gives us the ability to stand. Those two things work together. The knowledge that God has justified you through Christ can give you the strength to stand against Satan. Paul says it's God who justifies. He's given us that ability to stand against Satan. When Paul came to Caesarea on his way to Jerusalem, you remember what happened? The Holy Spirit revealed to the brethren there that if Paul proceeded to go to Jerusalem, he was going to suffer at the hands of the Gentiles. And that the Christians there urged him not to go. They didn't want to see Paul suffer. Do you remember what Paul's reply was? Well, I'm glad you told me because I'm not going to go now. No, Acts chapter 21, verse 13, he said, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am not ready only to be bound, but also die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Why would he say that? Because Paul had peace. Paul had the peace of the gospel. Paul had that which would give him the ability to stand against anything. He was not afraid. How would you be? Are you at peace with God? Have you put on the shoes of the gospel of peace? As we said in each one of these lessons, all these parts of the armor are reserved for those that are in the battle. If you have not responded to what Jesus has done for you, you're not in that battle. You don't have any of this equipment. And you won't survive. If you want to survive the war that goes on in this world and be prepared for the one, be prepared for eternity, then you have to put on this armor. And it starts with faith in Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God, and repenting of your sins and being buried in baptism. Then you can start putting on this armor which will protect you and keep you safe and give you the ability to stand. And then you can have that same confidence that Paul had, that same peace. If in any way we can help you, we'd encourage you to be obedient to the gospel of Christ today. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.